I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
World, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. I had lied to you guys a couple weeks ago because I said that there would be a new episode last week, but I decided to take the full week off, seeing as it was Thanksgiving and I had some stuff I was working on, so I decided to just take it off. Also, I have two episodes left for this year, and then I'll be on a holiday break for a little bit. So this episode and one more, and then I'm going to go on a nice break, which will be really wonderful. More sitting at home, not doing anything. I hope you guys had a very safe holiday. I hope that you continue to have a safe holiday season. I know it sucks, but, you know, try to be smart and be safe and stay at home. Please don't travel. It's too dangerous. You don't want to be that person that gets somebody in your family sick. You just don't. I know you don't. I know you're smarter than that. So stay home. Zoom. That's what we're going to do. And it sucks, but that's the decision that our family has made. And it's one that we stick by because it's how we're going to keep each other safe and look out for each other. Today on the show, I have Tyler Christopher joining me. You know him best from General Hospital. He and I did a movie a few years back called Pretty Broken that I also produced. It's available on Amazon Prime right now for free, so you should go watch that. Great movie to watch with the family if you're around them, and if you're not, then you're probably going to cry a lot. If you watch it alone and you haven't seen your parents in a long time because of COVID, you'll probably sob. So if you're going to, I suggest a bottle of wine. Anyway, I had a great time having Tyler on the show, and here's our conversation. Welcome to the show, Tyler!
Thank you for having me.
How have you been lately?
I've been okay. You know, I'm in Ohio.
Oh, gosh.
Right now, of all places. There's like 3 inches of snow on the ground. I'm not used to it, even though I grew up here. This is where I grew up. But, you know, I've been in California for over 25 years.
Yeah.
And that's what I have become accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
Now I miss it.
I've been to Ohio once on a road trip from California. I was driving out to Connecticut with my best friend. She was moving back out there, and we stopped in Toledo for a night. It was real fun. We picked up some pizza.
You got to go through Toledo if you want to get to the Northeast.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, we got there and we were freezing our asses off, though, because it was, you know, February and just the worst time to take a road trip.
It's horrible. I'm just so not used to it. And January is when I'm thinking I'm coming back.
Nice. January. Hey, that's soon.
Yeah. It's, you know, today's what, the first?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not- you got a few days.
I got a few days. It's not soon.
So tell me, you know, I met you when we did the movie Pretty Broken, but you've been around forever. My mom has watched General Hospital her entire life, so she definitely watched most of your career. Feels like you've always been a part of the family in the TV room. But what got you into acting? Why did you choose to take on this crazy lifestyle of an artist?
Well, it's interesting, actually. I was a college student here in Ohio, and I was recruited to play baseball.
Hmm.
And I thought that was going to be my future. You know, here I am, a young 18-year-old kid, just got recruited to play college baseball. You know, I thought that was it, right?
Yeah.
And, it doesn't always work out that way. You know, and I got really disappointed.
Hmm.
And I didn't know what else to do. I started thinking about, okay, Tyler, what else can you do with your life that will fulfill this void?
Hmm.
You not being a successful baseball player. And acting is what came up. You know? So that's what motivated me. In the beginning.
Yeah.
And so I dropped out of school.
Mm-hmm.
I resent that. I should have stayed in, but
hey, you can always go back.
I think that ship has sailed.
I don't know. I mean, I interviewed Dee Dee Pfeiffer a few weeks ago, and she went back to school in like her 40s.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Is that, you know, I would have to go to a different school, because the school that I went to, the big reason why I got to go was because my mother worked there.
Oh, wow.
So I got free tuition.
Dang, that's nice.
Free tuition and free room and board.
Wow. So that's unheard of.
I know. I threw that away. She doesn't work there anymore. My mom has since passed, you know, that was the big reason why I was there.
Hmm. So. Did you do any performing arts classes while you were in college, or did you decide to pursue that somewhere else?
I did not. And my mother worked in the theater department.
Oh, no.
And I never once went, not one time.
Oh, gosh.
And the school that I went to here's what it's called. And certainly not because I went there, but it's called the Ivy League of the Midwest.
The Ivy League of the Midwest.
It's a very prestigious school to go to for education and for theater.
Wow.
It was an enormous theater school, and it was their biggest department. And I just, you know, I wanted nothing to do with it.
That's funny. I wonder if it was because your mom worked there.
You know, no, it wasn't. It wasn't that at all. It was just, you know, I was a jock, right?
Mm.
Jocks don't act. Jocks don't do theater. And that, you know, that was the egotistical attitude that I took, you know, but they had a beautiful theater. It was a Broadway house.
Wow.
And I remember going in there I went in there one time. I remember going into my mom and say, "Mom, what do you people do here?" And so I got a little tour of it and I got to see the theater and I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive.
Mm.
And, you know, now since I've been acting, now, you know, I've been to Broadway several times.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what a good Broadway house looks like.
Yeah. That's wild. So you dropped out of school and then did you come out to LA? Did you go to New York? Did you do any sort of formal training?
I just packed what little money I had, which was not almost nothing in term when mm-hmm. you're talking about LA money.
Yeah.
You got to come with some cash if you want to make it right.
Yeah, a little bit to get you started.
A little bit. And I came with almost nothing, no car, and really no place to live.
Mm.
I moved in with my cousin and two other guys, but I didn't have a bedroom.
This sounds very familiar. It sounds like a lot of my friends in their early 20s and how they lived in LA.
I was 22.
Yeah.
And, you know, I lived on the couch for a year.
Mm.
And I was fine with that. You know, it's like, I mean, oh my gosh, here I am in LA. It's fun. A lot of cool things to do. I mean, that was my attitude.
Well, and it's kind of like the vibe too, when you're in your early 20s and you move to LA to become an artist, like everyone's kind of just living together and figuring it out.
Yeah. I mean, I was in, an apartment with three other actors. So we all mm-hmm. we supported each other.
Yeah. Do you still talk to those guys today?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Those are usually the people that stick around for the long haul, or the people that you find when you're struggling when you first get out here.
My cousin who I moved in with has since given it up and lives in Nashville.
Oh, fun.
And my one roommate is still acting. My other roommate, who is the better actor than all of us, he was a Shakespeare guy, right?
Mm.
Which I don't get. I mean, I think it's awesome. I don't think I could be that guy.
Mm.
And he was really good at it. He moved to Canada.
Wow.
And got married, and he's been acting from there.
Oh, that's nice. Canada's a great place to act. There's so much going on up there all the time.
I've done some stuff in Vancouver and Toronto and some other place. It's like whatever that city is north of Detroit. I don't know.
I don't know. I am the worst at geography. The worst. None of it makes sense to me. So you're out here. You're living on a couch. How long before you get like that first co-star role or the first thing that really you were like, okay, I can do this?
My first job was General Hospital.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. You just hit the jackpot, number one.
Well, you know, it took me 18 months.
Yeah.
Which felt, I mean, that felt like 18 years.
Right.
But in Hollywood times, that's pretty fast.
And it's very fast.
I was super grateful for it. And, you know, the timing was right for me. You know, the part was right. And the look was right. And although I was super green, I was okay. I wasn't great. I wasn't a great actor. I was just okay. I was good enough.
And you stayed on that show for a long time, and you've gone back several times as well.
Oh, on and off for 16 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's such a commitment. I feel like soap operas, you know, for whatever reason, they're always looked down upon. But it's such a commitment as an actor to be able to just say, I'm going to do this role for the foreseeable future and I'm not going to look back.
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate enough to be able to leave a few times and go off and do some great stuff and come back. And but there's something to be said in Hollywood to have a job all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
super hard to do. And I'm was very grateful that I had that show to keep going back to.
Yeah, and especially with, you know, family and whatnot. I mean, all of my friends who are on soaps have families, and it's such a good, stable job for an actor to have.
It certainly is.
So you went over to Days of Our Lives too in 2017? Is that when that was?
Yes.
And what made you go to that soap?
Well, I was living in Indiana at the time. You know, I moved my kids and my then wife back to be around her family. And that's where it was, Central Indiana. And, you know, they just called me one day and said, "Hey, do you want to come join us?"
You're like, "Heck yeah."
And I said, "Yeah." And of course, I'm like, "Okay, what's the role?" And then they told me what the role was, which was, of course, a big shoe to fill. You know, to play basically, you know, Stefano. That's basically my role.
Yeah.
Who was, you know, he was an icon on not only Days of Our Lives, but daytime. And unfortunately, you know, he passed just before I came on. So I never got a chance to work with him.
Wow. That's wild. But, you know, beyond soap operas, you've been in several films. You've done awesome roles like The Lion Game. I mean, what is your favorite thing to work on as an actor? Is it soaps? Is it film? Is it TV?
I like film.
Yeah.
Because for a very specific reason, it's the storytelling. In a film, unlike television, and certainly unlike soap operas, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's a journey. And I like to take that journey and create all of the nuances that make it a story that people want to watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I liked about it. It's just to be able to finish a movie, watch it, and look back and watch the story be told and watch your hero win in the end.
Films are, I'm such a film enthusiast. I watch far too many of them in a given week. I really need a life. But, you know, they're, like you said, it is this wonderful experience because you do get that beginning, middle, and end. And it's just so, it's so rewarding to watch and to act in as well.
Yeah.
But if you could do any film, any type of film, what would it be?
Oh, gosh.
It's a hard one, I know.
Well, I'm a big fan of, I've been asked this question before. And I'm a big fan of the anti-hero. In movies, you know, the guy who doesn't always win in the end, but but he learns a valuable lesson. I guess that's a, you know, a long-winded way to say, you know, drama is what I love.
Right.
And to be able to get into a character and go on that journey with him to heal, because all heroes have heal to some degree in a movie. If they don't, it probably wasn't a very good movie. And, you know, some of the best ones that I love really tap into that journey where the end and the hero, even though he might die in the end, you know, that doesn't happen very often in film where your hero dies. But if he does, I hope that he at least learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah. I mean, that's a perfect film is, for me, it's like a slice of life film is where you're just kind of with somebody and watching their story unfold rather than a huge spectacle.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just think about it. What TV does, you know, every TV, not just soap operas, but primetime television, that's a soap opera by definition.
Oh, yeah.
By definition. Soap opera is defined what was the definition told to me? Multiple storyline. And that's what primetime television is. You've got all your main characters, and they all go through a journey together or by themselves.
Mm.
And daytime television is not any different. It just looks different.
And shot different. And so many pages a day.
Yeah.
It's true, though. It is. And, you know, soap operas, I think we can thank for actually creating primetime television, because what was there really beforehand as far as nighttime soap operas? You know, nowadays you have like the new series on NBC and everywhere else. This Is Us. I think those all can be classified as a soap opera.
This Is Us is by far a soap opera.
Yeah. It's true. A lot of them follow that same sort of formula.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why daytime television has been around for 5 decades. You know, obviously we've got something right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has it fallen down? Of course it has, but everyone keeps saying, you know, soaps are gone, soaps are dead. But, you know, primetime television has taken a dip too.
Big time.
Big time. And it's not just daytime. We're just the ones that took the fall for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think with like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and all these places creating their own television series, it's nearly impossible for primetime to even keep up at this point.
I can't keep up with it.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many series constantly.
I know.
I just watched The Undoing because the season finale was this past weekend and it was so dang good. But it's one of those, it's such a soap opera. Watching it, it's like, who killed this guy? Well, or girl. And it's just like, okay, this is a soap opera playing out in six episodes. That's it.
Every pilot that I've ever done has been a soap opera.
Yeah.
Every single one.
So you're coming back out here in January. What do you got your sights set on? What do you want to do?
Oh my goodness.
Everything.
You know, now that I'm newly single, and that's another story, but you know, for the first time in my entire career, which I started in 1995, for the first time in my entire career, I'm on my own.
Mm.
I'm completely alone by myself, and I'm going to be completely dedicated to the craft only. I don't have anything else to be responsible for. So I'm for that reason, I'm excited because, you know, I've always been in a relationship, or, you know, and for this long time, I was married for a long time. So, you know, I had other responsibilities.
Yeah.
But now I don't. And, you know, I'm excited to get started again. I'm also, this is another thing, now that I'm on my own, I wouldn't be able to do this if I wasn't on my own, but I am going to go for Broadway.
Really?
Yes. I'm going to spend some time in New York as well as Los Angeles. And go for it. You know, I've done a lot of theater. I have my own theater.
You have your own theater?
I do.
Where?
Do you know the area? So it's in Valley Village.
Yeah.
On Lancashire Boulevard.
What?
It used to be, and I don't know if you know it used to be Theater Deaf West.
I've totally heard of that.
Yeah. Well, we bought it and took it over and outfitted it out. And we've got two theaters in there. And we've been around for almost 18 years.
Wow.
We've moved all over the place. I mean, that wasn't our first theater. We started with just about 10 friends on Santa Monica Boulevard, like the not nice part, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The dirty part over by all those clubs.
Yep.
Yep. We were on the second floor because if you know that area, like you got all these like rundown businesses on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But on top, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Well, what we did is we paid a small rent, and just like 10 of us actors, we would go there once a week and just like work our craft. And from there is when we decided, hey, let's take this to the next level. Let's start a theater. And that's how it started. And we started in a small theater off of Melrose in like, if you know that area too, Rampart.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Horrible. Horrible, horrible area. Bad, bad, bad. But that's
cheap rent.
That's what was available.
Yeah.
That was our first theater.
Wow.
And then from there, we just started getting everything we could. We got a bunch of seats. From a big theater that was closing down. One of those big theaters over on Sunset West.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, I'm such a bad actor for not remembering what theater we took all their equipment from. But anyway, so we got a notice from that big theater that they were going out of business and they were giving away everything in the theater.
Oh my God.
And they were only giving it to a handful of theater groups, and we were one of them. So it was a first come, first served thing. So all of our theater groups showed up on a weekend, And then they opened the doors, and whatever you could get is what it was yours.
Oh my gosh, that's like a the ultimate Black Friday showdown.
We took the seats, enough of them, like 99 of them, right?
Oh my gosh.
And they were the beautiful plush purple that they fold up, you know, all numbered. And they were great. We took that, and then another really expensive thing are the blacks.
Oh wow.
Those are so expensive.
Yeah.
And we took them, the ones that were from the ceiling to the floor.
Dang.
We took that. And I took the urinal. I went in the bathroom. I go, I'm taking it. It's mine. The only thing we didn't get that we really wanted, because somebody else took it, that they went for it first, was the marquee.
Mm.
But now, with Theater Deaf West, they had a beautiful marquee already. So now we have one.
That's super cool. I had no idea that you owned a theater. I mean, that's such a cool thing to have be part of your life in such a large way.
It is. It's come such a long way, and we still have got some of the same members that we've always had. You know, every chance I get, I do a play there. I haven't done one in the new theater that we've only had the Deaf West for like 2 years.
Mm.
And, you know, and to do a play, it takes time and effort.
You have a lot of time
to do it. You know, and if you're working on a show, it's difficult to go to a play.
But yeah, it's near impossible.
Is that I have experience doing theater. Now, I've never done a musical.
Yes. Let's hear it. Let's hear a little song.
No, not yet. First thing I'm going to do, and I haven't done this ever before, is train.
Yeah.
So I'm taking voice lessons, everything that I need to do to pass off as a Broadway actor, I'm going to do as soon as I get there.
That's so exciting. I'm really excited for this journey for you. I think it's going to be really, really cool and really special.
Now, look, I may not be able to pull it off, but you know, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I could do Broadway straight plays, non-musicals. I know I can do that because I've been doing it. So if it comes to that, great. I'll still consider that a success, but you know, I love Broadway musicals so much. I mean, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. They're remarkable. I love Broadway. I always thought that I would end up there one day, but the life has taken different turns for me.
Yeah, I saw, because what I've been practicing was, because did you see Hamilton?
Oh, yeah. I saw it when it came out to LA at the Pantages.
I saw it in Chicago. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
It's incredible.
I mean, and so I'm going like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to train by using one of those songs.
Mm.
So I started listening to the soundtrack and I'm like, holy crap, man. I don't know if I can pull this off. Because those are some real deal songs, you know, by some professional singers. And
yeah, they're amazing songs.
You know, there's some Broadway shows that don't require you to have like the most amazing voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just remember, this was years ago, I got an audition for Rent.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, okay, what do I do? So the audition was, they wanted you to come in and do the song. And if you seen Rent?
Yeah, I have a tattoo from Rent.
Oh, no, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean,
it says No Day But Today. But yes, I know it very well.
Because my audition was for, I forget the character's name. Maureen's boyfriend. What's his name?
Mark.
Mark, yes. It was for that. And that guy's a rock star.
Yeah, Anthony Rapp, he's incredible.
Yeah, he's a real rock star. And that's the song that they wanted me to sing, was that really difficult one that he sings. I had to turn it down. I told my agent, I go, I'm flattered that this has come across me. I said, I have to tell you, I cannot sing that song. I can't do it.
That show in general, the vocals in it are so difficult.
Oh, every character. There isn't one character in there that, because I've seen Rent like 3 times. There isn't one character in there that I'm like, oh, I could sing that. Not one.
I know. When the movie came out, I was, I don't know, in my teen years, I think. And I remember the movie coming out and watching Rosario Dawson play Mimi and singing Out Tonight. And I just was thinking, like, I could never sing that song. It has such a wide range vocally. Like, there's no way I could do it.
No.
It's just not possible.
There isn't. And I wanted it so bad. I didn't turn it down right away. I was like, okay, Tyler, how can you pull this off? So I kept listening to that song over and over and over and again. And that's when I finally decided. I go, that guy's the real deal. Mm-hmm. And I said, if I can't sing it like him, then I'm not going to get the role.
That's quite the audition story there.
That's the only musical that's ever come across me is that.
Wow. Well, I was going to ask you to share a role that you wanted, but you already did, because that's huge.
I did want it. And it actually inspired me to, you know, do what I'm going to do this coming year, which is try and do Broadway.
And wow.
Just, you know, just do the best I can, you know, and if I'm good enough to get a role, then I'll be grateful.
Well, I'm rooting for you. I'm sure there's a lot of people who will be too.
Yeah. You know, right now it's like Broadway's not even happening.
No. You know, I know. I was watching the, they had that music, what was it? It was like a sing-along the other night on ABC for Disney, and they had the Broadway casts of Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and Frozen come out and do a song in one of the stages. And I was just sitting there sobbing, thinking about them and how much they've all been through throughout this pandemic and not being able to perform every night. I just can't even imagine the anguish they've been through.
Yeah. And it's not going to get any better this for some months.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think theater is going to be coming back until end of 2021, maybe 2022, personally, my belief.
Yeah. We're shut down.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no safe way to do it. You know, there's no safe way to put on a show and sell the amount of seats that you need to sell to be able to pay everybody correctly.
No, I mean, you know, like I said, we've got 2 theaters, but it's theater seating.
Yeah.
And you're right next to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't do that. It's against the law, actually.
It's just, it's far too dangerous. And I just don't think that, like, until everybody takes the vaccine, and I think that's going to be a difficult task in general, especially in America, to get everybody to take the vaccine. I don't think that theater is going to be able to come back safely. It's crappy, but we will get there one day. Yep. One day we will be back in theater and seeing it and performing it, and it'll be wonderful, and we'll never take it for granted again.
I hope not. Because that's, I mean, you know, I've been away from LA for too long. Mm. And you know, that's the first thing I want to do when I get there is dive into a play.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, unless this starts getting better quick, I'm not going to be able to do that.
Well, I know that a lot of theaters have been doing, you know, Zoom readings and whatnot as well. And that seems to be, I mean, it's definitely no replacement for it, but hey, at least it keeps your mind occupied and the craft going.
Yeah, we do that. Our artistic director, he does it. We do a class there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been doing the class on a Zoom instead.
That's nice. I think that's good. I mean, I think a lot of people need things like that too to keep morale up and to help them get through such a hard year.
Yeah, because you know we got a lot of members, and let me tell you, the rent on Lancashire Boulevard for that big of a space is not cheap.
I can't imagine it would be.
It's not cheap at all.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people follow you on social media?
Where? Oh my God. I'm the worst when it comes to that. I'm so bad at it. And I know that I need to be better at it because it's important. But, you know, I have a fan Facebook page.
There you go. You have Instagram.
And Instagram. I'm terrible at putting stuff on it.
I've been trying actually to stay off of it more is what I've been trying to do, especially during all of this. I actually deleted Facebook from my cell phone so that I wouldn't go on it as much. Seems to work.
Good. Then you're on my side then.
A little bit. Yeah. Instagram is still another story, but I'll get there one day.
As soon as I get back to LA.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to get all back on it because
there you go.
Because it's just going to be me out with like, because all of a sudden it's like all my friends are like, oh my God, you're coming back to LA and you can actually hang out with us? And I said, yeah.
What's that?
I said, yeah.
Well, thank you again so much for coming on. It was a pleasure to catch up with you, and I'm excited to see where this this new adventure takes you.
Yeah, anything you need, anytime.
Thanks again to Tyler for coming on to the show and spending some time with me. Tune in next week. I don't know who's going to be on yet, but I'm sure I'll figure it out by then. Subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to it right now. Make sure to rate and leave a review. It really helps us. Preferably, I'd like you to rate it 5 stars. If there's 5 stars on the platform that you are rating it on. If there's not, then 4 would do. However many there are. The more the better is what I'm saying. Make sure to tell your friends, your family, and whoever else you may be talking to this holiday season to tune into the show. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that, as well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.